Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King. I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I have a great friend with me and also a powerful prophetess, Stacy Campbell. Stacy, it's awesome to have you with us. You've been on our program a number of times, but you've just got a brand new book out, and it's called Ecstatic Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And in today's program, we're going to find out exactly what ecstatic prophecy is, because I'm sure that a number of our viewers have never heard of that term before. This is an excellent book. It's written by you, of course, and your husband, Wesley Campbell, has contributed and published by Chosen. And it says in the subtitles here, what it is and why it happens, mm-hmm. understanding its roots in the Bible and church history, discerning true versus false prophecy, and its practice in the church today. So, wow, it's a power-packed book. Now, I remember when I first met you, and I was like, I mean, you are a sign and a wonder. The power of God came on you. Your head was going back and forth, and it looked like we had three faces in front of us prophesying, and it was just amazing. And I remember my husband nudging me, saying, look at this, you know. But it carried so much weight. The word was so powerful, carried so much authority. But many people have asked you over the years, like, what is that all about? Why do you shake? Why do you tremble? Why does it come with so much sign and wonder?
Well, I wasn't looking for it when it first happened to me, because I come from a really conservative church background. And so I was became a Christian in the Plymouth Brethren movement. And that's where the women all wear head coverings and they're silent in the church. And they believe all the gifts of the Holy Spirit have passed away. So I used to ardently, passionately believe that there was no such thing as prophecy, that it didn't exist today. And then I went to university and Baptist seminary, and I was further entrenched in that, you know, from a theological perspective. And so when it happened to me that the Holy Spirit came on me and possessed me or slash filled me, as it says in the book of Acts, no one was more shocked than me. And so it sent me on.
And you were pastoring at the time, right?
Yeah,
you
we were Baptist pastors, actually. My husband was, and I taught Sunday school. I taught the two-year-olds, because women, that's what we did in church, and cooked and stuff. So I wasn't good at cooking, so I taught Sunday school.
And so one had been operating in the prophetic?
No one. No one in our church. In fact, we had Dallas Theological Seminary graduates for elders, and, you know, really conservative. Our whole lot of us was really, really conservative. So when the Holy Spirit fell on me in a very, very dramatic way in 1987, 1988, no one was more shocked than me. No one was praying for me. I wasn't asking for it. Nobody, it wasn't like I was seeking to prophesy. It was not biblical. The Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. I was not doing that. I was talking people out of it. I was saying people are demon-possessed. And so, you know, I have a lot of sympathy or empathy for people that, like yourself, that might see me for the first time prophesying and then just go, woo, you know. And I have a lot of people that maybe just kind of write it off just based on what it looks like. But I have since done, like, hours and hours and hours, weeks and weeks and weeks, years actually, of theological study on this subject.
Right.
So I'm really comfortable with
the night the Holy Spirit first came, you were at a party, a church party, where your leadership was gathered, and then all of a sudden
somebody said, let's pray, I think we should thank God for the year. It was a Christmas party, and we just had our staff and elders there. And when we all bowed our head to pray, like, everybody could feel something was different in the room. And everybody, you know, we were kind of drawn to pray, even though it was a Christmas party. And we were all, like, playing ping pong and doing stuff like that. And so when we bowed our head to pray, it was like the tangible presence of God came in the room. And when that happened, myself and two of the other elders began to violently shake. I mean, I remember it started in my foot, went up my leg. I started bouncing off the chair. My head started shaking. You know, the other pastor's ring just, you know, his hand started flapping and his ring fell off. And I mean, we began prophesying out of nothing. We didn't know what it was for. We didn't know what it was. We had no concept. But because it was so dramatic, and because we could sense the presence of God, somebody said, I think this is for something. Do you feel like praying for anybody? So although none of us in that room had ever prophesied before, we all kind of gathered around one of the elders, and suddenly out of nowhere we began to prophesy. So it was really, I learned how to prophesy actually via the manifestations. Like my body would move in a certain way, a scripture would pop in my mind, and I'd say, well, you know, I've got this scripture and I think it means this, just from the way my body was moving. So I actually learned to prophesy through the manifestations.
Wow. So how did it develop? Like, how did, like, once that happened, mm-hmm. because then the whole church went prophetic. It wasn't just mm-hmm. a moment, was it? It was
no.
just like...
I like to go into a little bit of the Bible, because I know most people, if they just see it, like, I'd seen spirit possession before this happened to me. And my orientation was that anything that was like physical manifestations was demonic. So I'd actually been on a trip. My husband and I thought we were going to be missionaries at one point. So we'd gone on this trip around the world, and we'd gone to several, like India and Thailand. And I was staying with Plymouth Brethren missionaries when I first saw one of my first times of demon possession. And we were at this festival in Thailand, this Buddhist festival. We had happened to go out with the missionary that day, and in the street there was this section cordoned off, and they had this huge Buddhist idol set up there. So we just looked in to see what was going on, and what we saw just freaked me out, just scared me. Because a person would walk inside the area that was sectioned off, and when they walked inside there, suddenly they would be like possessed. Like, I watched it with my own eyes. And the spirit would come on them, and they would just, their eyes would roll back in their head. They began to shake violently, jerking, moving, you know, seemingly unconsciously towards the idol. And they would then like offer something to the idol and crumple in a heap on the ground and walk away. And the Plymouth Brethren missionary we were with, I said, what is that? He said, well, he said, they're getting possessed by spirits. They're offering to the Buddha. This is a common thing in this culture. And, you know, I'd seen things like that, and actually several things like that in that missions trip. And so I was really afraid of the supernatural. The only thing I'd ever seen was in the demonic realm. I'd seen a fair amount of it, again, in India, and I was, like, really, really afraid of it.
And I think that is a common fear in the body of Christ, too, is that we think if there's anything like it that's out of control, it has to be demonic. Mm-hmm. And yet sometimes God will sovereignly move on a person and empower you, but it feels different. It's got the different fruit. So how do you tell the difference?
Well, I like to say that actually Holy Spirit possession is normal in the Bible. I mm-hmm. mean, in when I went to study this from a theological point of view, you know, the primitive prophets, Samuel in the school of the prophets, they would be what we would call filled with the Holy Spirit, what you might call possessed by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. because they were so filled to such a degree that it overtook them, body, soul, and spirit. So that when Saul was going to capture David, and as soon as he sent people into the company of where the prophets were, Samuel's school of the prophets, what happened was he was overcome with the spirit of prophecy, so that people that saw him, the Bible says he lay down all day and all night on the ground prophesying against his will. He was overcome. Right. He was filled. He was possessed by the spirit of prophecy. He fell down there and he shook. And the Bible said he lay down naked. He prophesied in such a way that his clothes fell off.
Yeah.
So, and then in the New Testament again, when he said, when Jesus said, go wait until you're endued with power from on high, then you'll be my witnesses. So they go wait in Jerusalem. And what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're absolutely overcome, bodily overcome. They begin speaking in other languages. And Peter stands up and says, hey, this is what Joel's talking about. They're not drunk like you think. It's not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'll prophesy. Joel called it, they'll dream dreams, they'll have visions, men and women.
Yep.
Like, this is what it's going to look like. And this is going to happen in a future day when the Holy Spirit falls on all flesh. And I can tell you story after story after story, you know, in the last year of this happening to people that weren't even looking for it.
I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, like more and more and more. Just take me over completely, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think most believers would want that. Like, if you love God and you trust Him,
absolutely,
you want more of Him. And I say, God, let your grace come, or your power come, your presence come, overtake me.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? And when you are empowered by the Spirit, you mm-hmm. can tell the difference. Like,
yes,
you know, before I was saved, I was involved in occult things. And so when I came to the Lord, I had to have deliverance.
Yeah.
I had to get the dark stuff out, you know. And Jesus has given provision for that. That's yes. normal in the gospel. We see Jesus casting out devils. That was a normal part of his yeah. day sort of mm-hmm. thing. And so it was wonderful to get cleaned out because no one wants a bad spirit. No one. Bad spirit, bad attitude, bad disease. Let's get it all out, mm-hmm. right? Like anything bad, let's get it out. But good, we want everything of God in us. Mm-hmm. You know, I want everything of God in my body, in my soul, in my spirit. I want to be filled to overflowing with God. So I think like that has to be clear. And mm-hmm. if our desire, God said, you know, if you desire a piece of bread, mm-hmm. you know, he's not going to give us a rock, or mm-hmm. if we want a fish, he's not going to give us a serpent. You know, it's like he's going to give us what is good, and he's going to give us what we desire mm-hmm. when we delight in him. Right. So to be empowered
we
by the Spirit.
God, yeah.
Right. So we're going to take a break in just a moment, but when we get back, I want to find out more about what ecstatic prophecy actually means, like okay. because there's root meanings in the Word of God mm-hmm. for it, and there's a lot of biblical confirmation mm-hmm. for this type of prophetic sign and wonder and reasons for it. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that, and you know, you better, you know, just get ready for anything, because the Lord confirms his word with signs and wonders. What would it look like right now if the Holy Spirit confirmed his word on ecstatic prophecy in your life? Well, welcome back. We're talking about the content of Stacy Campbell's book, Ecstatic Prophecy. I love this book. It's well written also, and I think it's a great tool for every believer to have in their mm-hmm. bookshelf. It's a great source of information and inspiration. But Stacy, the word ecstatic is actually based on biblical words and phrases and mm-hmm. roots and that. So
right. It actually is a New Testament Greek word. Ecstasy is found 5 times in the New Testament, and it's in Acts 2. You know, they were filled with awe and wonder. They were ecstatic when the Holy Spirit fell on the group in the upper room. And then it's also 2 Corinthians 12:2, I believe it is, Acts 10:10. When Peter went into a trance, the Greek word there actually is ecstasis. Right. He went into an ecstasy. Now, ecstasy is the New Testament's closest equivalent to the Old Testament nabi. And nabi is the most primitive form of prophecy in the Bible, okay? So it is the oldest form of biblical prophecy, you know, being in an ecstatic state. So, and the Bible talks over and over, like the scholars, for example, Brown Driver Briggs' Hebrew and English lexicon, which is the definitive lexicon of its type for the Old Testament, talks about when it the word nabi, what it actually means. Let me read to you what this lexicon says. In its oldest forms, the oldest form in the Bible, nabi means of religious ecstasy, with or without song or music. Scripture cited as prophesy under the influence of a divine spirit, being filled with the Spirit. So that says, and then it goes on to say, in the ecstatic state. And so what it means, you know, in layperson's terms is that the Holy Spirit comes on a person and they are changed into a different person. Visible, demonstrative changes occur when the Holy Spirit comes on a prophet. It happens over and over right. again, Old and New Testaments. When they begin to prophesy, the Bible talks about the hand of Yahweh, or an ecstatic state, the Spirit of God coming on them, and they fall like dead men. They right. tremble. People that are with them shake. Everybody in the region notices a different presence. They often begin to tremble or shake. In the New Testament, it happens with John in the book of Revelations. So, and all through church history, it's over and over mm-hmm. and over again. And the whole church was birthed in ecstatic mm-hmm. prophecy, you know? And so it's a biblical phenomenon, but more than that, it's going to happen in the future. The Bible talks of a future time when the Holy Spirit is going to come on all flesh. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen at that time?
Yeah, it says
they're prophesy. Going to prophesy. Mm-hmm. And when it happened in the New Testament for the first time, Peter stood up and said, these people aren't drunk. You know, this is what Joel's talking about. This is what it might look like. They're going to be so overcome, and they're going to declare the wonderful works of God in every tongue, every tribe, like in their own languages.
Awesome.
And it's an exciting thing. It's a desired thing.
In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, you may all prophesy.
Yes.
Okay, so like all of us can wait on God, learn to hear his voice, and you teach the body how to do that. So we hear his voice, we hear his will concerning things, and then we can, in obedience and faith, speak it out.
Mm-hmm.
So every believer can prophesy in that sense, like be a voice for God. But there's a difference between that which is operated by faith of the believer and that which comes sovereignly by the Spirit of God. So what you're talking about here is that which comes sovereignly by the Spirit of God, because like, well, for one thing, most of us wouldn't want to, by faith, receive like, you know, I wouldn't want, okay, God, give me the shaking. Okay, I'm going to receive this by faith. I'm going to shake.
No.
You know, we want what's authentic, when the power of God is on us and our flesh is reacting, our body's reacting. We want that to be because of the power of God, not because we've chosen to manufacture it or whatever. So that's what you're talking about, the sovereign power of God coming on, and under that influence of sovereignty, that his will is made known.
Absolutely. And I, there's a tangible difference. I mean, I never try to shake. I never like say, well, I'm, you know, but I can, like, say if I'm going to prophesy, I can just, you know, operate out of the gift of prophecy. Ecstatic prophecy is a different, it's a different level. It's kind of like how I would describe, you know, we can all worship, okay? So we just by faith go and worship, whether we feel like it or not. We might, you know, have just come from a hard day and we start worshiping. But sometimes when you go into worships, you know, you're talking to God, and then, you know, he just comes down in a sovereign presence, and you might begin weeping or be filled with joy and just want to dance.
Or
you feel his power on you. Well, that's common to like believers, that they understand that in worship. Well, for me with prophecy, I can prophesy out of the gift of prophecy, but oftentimes right in the middle of it, like I'll feel the spirit of prophecy descend on me at a tangible level. At that point in time, if I, even if I don't want to, I begin to shake, you know? And so I can stop prophesying in the same way anybody can stop worshiping, you know? The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets.
Right.
I can say, no, I don't want to do this. I can pull myself out, say, I'm not going to prophesy now, but I don't actually have a choice of how I'm going to prophesy. I can't say, I want to see an angel now. I'm going to go into a vision, an out-of-body experience. Yeah, you know, it's not like that. It's I start with the gift of prophecy, and then it just opens up.
It's always directed by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Everything must be directed by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
So those that are led by the Spirit are the mature sons of God. Yeah. And so whether it's prophetic or healing, we're to walk with Holy Spirit, be led by him. If it's encounters with him in the glory, we let him lead us. Then he directs where, what, how, and you
Absolutely.
Know, what kind of power encounters.
But I love it, because usually I find that sometimes the people with the most problems of it are people that have kind of a limited biblical knowledge. I think that the more you study the Bible, you'll see that this is actually quite common practice, Old and New Testament prophetic experience. But when I go to prophesy over unbelievers, like 2 days ago I was at church, and there, in the morning, I just was feeling to prophesy, so I walked over, and there were two people, and I knew that they, this was their first time in church. So I said, hey, is this your first time in this church? And they said yes. And as I began to prophesy over them two different times, like the first lady, she just begins weeping because the presence of God comes. You can't make a person cry in 2 minutes. You know, then I walked to the lady at the back and I said, this is your first time in church, in this church. And she said, yeah. And so I started prophesying over her. She starts weeping. We had a healing thing, you know, and I walk up to this lady. As soon as I walk up to her, she begins trembling and shaking. And I laid my hands on her and began, the presence of God came on me. She fell over, and I found out later that was her second time in church. The first time she left before she could even get prayed for, she was sort of nervous. And she said, when I leaned down to pray beside her, she looked up at me and she said, what was that? She said, as soon as you came near me, I felt this heat go all through my body and I fell over. What was that? And these people, you know, they're not even, they're not, it's not psychological for them. They're sensing a tangible presence of
God. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us. So when God reveals in his word or through encounter a situation, that's our invitation to pursue him for
Absolutely.
It. I know that there's a lot of you that are asking, well, I would like this. How can I grow in that kind of the prophetic? Well, when you seek the Lord and you place his desire before him, and then you pursue listening to his voice, following the Spirit, then as you go, there's an acceleration of visitation and empowerment by the Spirit. So I just say this, don't seek ecstatic prophecy for itself. Mm-hmm. You know that it's available. You know that that encounter with God is available. So go after him. Mm-hmm. Go after him, go after his voice, go after following the Spirit, and watch what happens. Hi, in Destiny Words today, we're actually going to prophesy over someone from our film crew. We just pulled him off the floor and sat him in the chair, and we're believing God for a word to be spoken over him. You know, it's one thing teaching about prophecy, but then another thing just stepping out in faith and modeling it. We're going to see what God's going to do right now. Father, we just pray for Jeff right now, and we ask, Lord, that you would minister to him prophetically. We thank you, Lord, for your light and your life that rests upon him and that dwells within him. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for your prophetic word.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So usually what I do is I usually close my eyes when I pray for somebody because I don't want to be thrown off by what they look like or whatever, and it's easier for me to feel what the Holy Spirit is doing. Oftentimes I lay hands on them, or you know, sometimes if I'm at the front of a crowd or whatever, I just kind of look out, and the Lord will highlight one person over another. And so I'm just going to pray for you. I've never met you before. I don't know even your name. I think
it's Jeff.
Jeff. Yeah. Okay. So I'm Stacy. Mm-hmm. Nice,
hey,
to meet,
nice
you.
To meet you.
And the Bible says prophesy according to your faith. So I often start with very little, like just a little tiny thing. So when I come close to you, what I really sense is an incredible spiritual hunger. And I feel like the Lord is taking you into a season where you're just like starting to dream about things that you've never dreamt about before. And I feel like the Lord is starting to actually, if I were to describe it, it's like the Lord taking, like unscrewing the top of your head and starting to download vision for really wild and crazy things. And I feel like the Lord said that there's a season coming into your life where you're going to think of things that are so far beyond what your actual capacity is right now, but it's coming from the Lord. And you're going to have a faith to pursue that. And I feel like the Lord says that he's going to work with you to create actually full feature productions. I feel like, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but God's going to give you like ideas for full feature productions, films, and that you're going to have the Holy Spirit ideas for them. In fact, I feel like, are you a dreamer? Do you dream?
Okay,
I'm going to pray because I feel like the Lord's going to start giving you clips in dreams, like of things. Or do you actually have you ever had like a visionary experience where you've seen something that you know you're supposed to do? Like you see it in the spirit, as it were, before you film it or before you make it. Okay,
yes.
That realm, I believe, is going to open up to you more and more. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, impartation of the spirit of prophecy. God, your nature is that you are creator. You create something out of nothing. God, you give vision. You give visions over and over again to your people. And I ask, God, that you would open his spiritual mind to receive vision. One of the biggest things people ask me is the difference between like Holy Spirit and demonic. I want to illustrate with an example. Last year I was at a conference in Holland, about 1,700 people were there. And in the middle of worship, suddenly I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to walk up and call, do an altar call for anybody who'd been involved in Satanism, in the occult, in any form of demonic spirit worship. So I'd never done that before. I didn't know what to do, but I just obeyed the Holy Spirit. I walked up and I said, is there anybody here that's involved in Satanism or the occult or witchcraft of any form? Could you please come up right now? Well, to my surprise, about 20 to 30 people came forward out of the crowd. This is a Christian conference. And so then I didn't know what to do, because that's all the Holy Spirit said, just do an altar call for people involved in Satanism and witchcraft. So I'd done that. So then I said, well, and there was a tall Dutchman standing there. So I walked over to him and I said, in Jesus' name. And the second I did that, he bent over like just like this. He started growling. His eyes rolled back. He started foaming at the mouth, and he went, and I was like afraid for like a millisecond. I forgot, I didn't know what to do. So then I remembered who I was in God and who God was in me. So I just said, in Jesus' name. And when I said, in Jesus' name, about 20 of the 30 people started, they bent over on the floor, they began manifesting, and they started throwing up right on the carpet in the hall, right where we were. And to me, that just simply illustrates the power of God. Like, 20 to 30 people on the spot got delivered, like a mass deliverance in the middle of worship. And the whole time, I was manifesting under the power of the Holy Spirit. Another time I went to Mozambique, northern Mozambique. I was in a little village, and I was prophesying to this little village, and it was translated into, English, from English to Portuguese to Makua. And when I began to prophesy, the second I began to prophesy, two demon-possessed people just started writhing on the ground, screaming, shrieking, falling, thud to the ground. And Heidi Baker was there. She walked over and just cast out many demons out of them, she told me. But what I'm saying is that there is power. And the Bible talks about a day when the spirit of Elijah is coming. And it's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children back to the fathers. But that was a day of power. Hundreds of prophets of Baal came, and one prophet of the Holy Spirit, empowered by God himself, was able to do a demonstration of power in front of all the other demonic entities, and like God wins. So I think we need the power of God more and more and more, and it's prophesied in the Bible that more power is coming to the church. There's a scripture about the Saul. It says in this, Samuel told him to go up to the prophets. And he would see Samuel in the school of the prophets, and they would be coming down. He says, and when you see the other prophets, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you, and you will be changed into a different person. And I see that the prophetic spirit falling on you, I feel like it already has, and there's a real prophetic anointing on your life. But I see it transforming you into a different person and sending you places that you would never, ever go. And one of the purposes of prophecy is that we become, go wait until power comes on you so that you can be my witnesses. And I feel like it's transforming you into a witness, and prophetic evangelism is just, you're going to go places that are way beyond your personality. And Father, I just want to stir the gift of prophecy that is on her. Lord, I thank you that you're sending her to places that are wild and crazy. Lord, places she would never go by herself, and places she would, and things she would never do on her own, God. And I thank you that you're moving her. You know what I feel like, Amy? I feel like you might see yourself as a background person, and maybe you've kind of been that. But I feel like that the closer that you get to God, you're pushing into the foreground. You're going places. And you think God might use you with the camera. You think God might use you somewhere else. I feel like the Lord said, I'm going to be with your mouth. I am going to give you words to prophesy to people. Edification, exhortation, comfort. Have you ever gone on like speed evangelism, prophetic teams? Okay.